It is a great reminder of what God has for us. As we delve into this third part in the Fruit of the Spirit series this morning, we are thinking and being aware of the fact that God is with us. He took one of what others have said, and you've heard it this week when Billy Graham's announced passing occurred. I thought I would dedicate this message to his great legacy. And many of us have known people that have been, just, it was interesting, I had people raise their hands. Who had ever been to a Graham event or been a part of the ministry teams of any kind, sang in the choir, just raise your hand for a moment. I just get curious to see that some of us, this is a younger crowd, so we wouldn't have had as many, you know, he's 99, but some of us had. And I remember one of the things that, being an old-time youth pastor, what I admired most about being with in the Graham events was that he was able, even, I heard him speak at 80. Now, he was 80. This is, you know, almost 20 years ago. And guess who opened that night? He had a youth night in DC Talk. Well, this is very early. This is the young DC Talk. And then those kids were listening to Billy Graham, who was in his 80s. And they were listening intently. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting? And DC Talk was the one who brought, well, they were young then. They're older folks now. But isn't it interesting how God uses people? And definitely the pastor who was, they say he was the pastor to popes and presidents in some ways, has had an effect on our world. And so I thought I would dedicate the message today to that. And I had no idea when I was setting up the series a few months ago that I would title the series, or at least the message today, Peace Guides Us to Healthy Decisions. There is no one else that I can think of in my life who understood, and actually is the name of his magazine. I don't know if you knew that. Decision Magazine was the Graham production, but he led people to make decisions, and he had a powerful, powerful ministry. I've taken people there. I use his little pamphlet. I'm going to talk about that this morning. It's just amazing about the power of decisions. So we're going to speak to that this morning. Peace guides us to healthy decisions. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and the focus today is peace. Peace that guides us to healthy decisions. Billy Graham said this about peace: Christ alone can bring lasting peace. You know, he spoke to over 200 million people in person. That's how far and wide, internationally, he went. Peace with God is something that he said often. Peace among the men and nations. Peace within our hearts. In fact, I'll show you a little bit later the picture of the pamphlet that has been in production, I think, for over 50 years in some form. It was been able to be used, and I still use it. I keep one of my number in my glove compartment, just in case there's an opportunity for me to share with someone their steps to peace with God. This is how you can become a follower of Jesus Christ. There's the picture of that little pamphlet. You'll see them around here at the church. I have put the propaganda around so that other people can take it. So if you want to take one with you to give to someone else, do it so I can fill it back up, all right? Then you will experience God's peace. Then you will experience God's peace, Paul writes to the church at Philippi. Then you will experience God's peace, not our peace. You see, we try to inject our stuff into it. We got to stop for a moment and say, whose peace? God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Far more than we ever can understand. Amazing, isn't it? Then you will experience God's peace. Peace is, the Greek word there is eirene, and it means simply harmony, security, and safety. Isn't that what we want to experience when we connect to God? And Billy Graham was able to do that. And I think one of the things that that theologians are commenting on as they've studied his messages, and they have done it. They have. It's amazing what they call homileticians. Those are the people who study sermons, just so you know. There is a whole field for that, right? Okay. They have torn apart his messages. They have looked at, they tear it all down, and then they build it back up. And here's what they say about Billy Graham. He was amazing that his messages were fresh and new. And you know what really touched me at the end of his life? He said, What was the one thing you could do? What's the one thing that you could do different if you could? He would say, I would have spoken less and studied more. Isn't that interesting? I would have taken more time to study God's word and have a firmer grasp of that. And I'm thinking, wow, wow. That's a powerful statement. And it is a powerful calling, because when we pause and we consider the elements of God, the things of God, we begin to have that overwhelm us. And I have always been amazed that he could use some scriptures that he had God had put on his heart, and I would have never been able to get there as he offered the message of Jesus coming into the world, whether it be an Old Testament passage or a New Testament. He was an able homiletician. And I think I want to give you three A's this morning about what I believe that peace will bring to us. It is first an atmosphere of heaven. The disciples were absolutely terrified at this moment. Think about this, as they're in this boat, and I'm going to show you a video because they do a time-lapsed photography of this message. Some of you will have seen it or already seen it if you've been in the class on peace, but I want you to see the story about how Jesus was working with his disciples and their response. So we'll go ahead and play that if we can.
One time it was so crowded that Jesus climbed out into a boat in the water and, facing the crowd on the shore, taught them about what God's kingdom was like. At the end of the day, Jesus told his disciples he wanted to travel to the other side of the lake. So the disciples got into the boat with Jesus and other boats that were with them, and they began to sail across the water. Jesus went to the stern of the boat, laid down on a cushion, asleep. As they sailed, a furious storm rose up, creating waves so large they broke over the boat. Quickly, the water began to fill the boat until it was nearly swamped. As the storm raged, Jesus stayed sleeping in the stern of the boat. The disciples woke him in a panic. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" they asked him. Jesus stood up and yelled at the wind. "Quiet, be still." In that moment, the wind died down and the sea became completely calm. Jesus then turned back to his disciples. "Why are you so afraid?" he asked. "Do you still have no faith?" Because of all of this, the disciples were terrified. They asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey."
It is right here in this passage that Mark makes the comment, the disciples were absolutely terrified. And I'm thinking, as they ask the question, who is this man? They're having this experience. They're having this experience thinking, the world is gushing with water over the ship. And where is Jesus? Where is God? Where is the Son of Man? Where is the Son of God? He's sleeping. I think there are times in our lives where we think God is sleeping. We see the waves, or we feel the waves. We see others who are going through that, and they may feel that the waves are going over their ship, and it's almost too much for them to handle, and they think that God is asleep. And who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind went in. When Jesus, at that moment, the disciples were terrified. They didn't know what to do. Jesus is asleep, and then he wakes up. And what does he do? He calms the storm. He is the only one that can bring peace in those moments. There is no one else that can bring peace like Jesus can. And it is the atmosphere of heaven. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. In other words, we have nothing to fear. Even when the wind is blowing and the waves are going to the top, they've done excavations of the ships that are in the Sea of Galilee. It is not an open sea. It's a pretty good-sized sea. The ships probably were no longer than 20 feet. They were not large. We're thinking of huge, heavy vessels. In those days, they weren't for fishing vessels. They would go out, and they had nets, and they would fish. But as they were out in this, and you just think of, and they say storms that would come in from the north would come in, and there could be huge waves. Some of us who've been in boats like that would think, oh, this could be pretty scary. But I think life is like that too, where literally, the disciples of Mark records it, life can be like that, where it's just scary. And the question is, are the waves going to overwhelm us, or are we going to let the peace that will guard our hearts and minds, will we let that take over our lives at that moment? I encourage you to hold on to this scripture here in Philippians 4:7. The peace of Christ will give you strength and guard your hearts. Graham says this, I borrowed this off of the internet, you can too. My home is in heaven, I'm just traveling through this world. Just traveling through. And we know that when we have the peace of Christ, we really have nothing to worry about. We have something that the world is desperate for. They're looking for it in all kinds of places, and they're not finding it. And they need the atmosphere of heaven. Secondly, I'm going to suggest this morning that the agent of reconciliation is how God works in our lives, and Jesus is the one who brought it. If nothing else, as we think about Billy Graham's life, we know that his message was always the same. Jesus is the way. And he kept that focus clear. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, Book of Romans, we read this, we have peace with God. We have peace with God because of what Christ our Lord has done for us. What Jesus has done for us, he is our agent of reconciliation. All of the New Testament authors write about that fact, that God was able to use that as an agent of reconciliation. In the book of Ephesians, we read some of the same words, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. You see, Jesus brings peace into the world. He united the Jews and the Gentiles into one people, when in his own body on the cross. It was on the cross that Jesus did it. He broke down the wall of hostility that had separated us. That's where these scriptures come into play. And then he completes this section here, Paul does, to the church at Ephesus and says, he made peace between the Jews and the Gentiles. In other words, he brought it together, that peace that surpasses all understanding, created one new group, and he was able to do that. I will say to you that I know that one of the hardest groups to get on the same page and unify our pastors, because I've been one for over 30 years. And when you get a group of pastors together, here's what they think. I'm going to tell you what they think. I'm right. I'm the one that's right. I've got this. And so you can imagine what herding cats is. And I loved about the Billy Graham Crusade. Whenever they came to town, they would not come. If you went to their advanced meetings, they would always get the pastors together. And here's what they would tell the group of pastors. It's not a secret. They published this. They would just say, if we can't get all of the churches and all the pastors in, we're not coming. That's the way they said it. We want this to be an Asian reconciliation. He was very first. I don't know if you were aware of this, but I have followed it. Very early in his ministry, it was hard in the South, but he was the one who led. He was with Martin Luther King and invited segregate. He did not have. He wanted everyone in. He opened the doors and said, we're not going to have segregation in our Crusades. And he didn't. In fact, he had to have armed escorts then because it was safe for him. But what always amazed me was he could cross all of the theological lines. He could cross all the... It was an amazing group if you ever got all of the pastors of what the Graham Crusade could pull together. And I believe that was the secret of getting people in the community to come together as the Church of Jesus Christ, not as our individual places. And that was the beauty of him being able to get people together and bring people together as an agent of reconciliation. In the Steps to Peace with God, that little pamphlet I was telling you about, he has this great illustration. I've used it. You've heard me use it. I hope you can use it too. That's why I share it with you. It is called the bridge illustration. You see, God is on one side providing peace, forgiveness, a life, eternal life, abundant life. And then the people are on the other side, and there's only one way across. It's the cross of Jesus Christ that is there, giving us an opportunity to cross over. And you know, that it is a very simple message. I have used it as stick figures in the sand, in the dirt, wherever I can, because it makes so much sense. It isn't that complicated. We've made evangelism complicated, human beings have, when really it's just an opportunity for us to share our faith. This is why I need Christ. I need cross to bridge the gap between where I'm at and where I want to be, experiencing God's peace. So lastly, I'm going to suggest this morning that because of the peace of Christ, we can have forgiveness. No one else like Graham could bring that about in some ways, talking about it to people. If you've ever taken a friend, or a friend maybe took you to a Graham event, you heard about forgiveness. And I think one of the parts of his message that always spoke to me is this part here in Philippians where he says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me and heard from me, then the God of peace will be with you. Be with you because first you have to forgive yourself if you're going to receive anything else from God. Allowing forgiveness is that step. In his later years, here's a nice photo of him. You know, he passed almost 100, 99. He was asked the question, what's the secret of your preaching? What is... Is it showmanship? Of course, we know that it wasn't the answer. Organization, and I'm not going to say that's the answer. He gave this answer to a magazine. I think it was Time magazine that was actually interviewing him at that point. He said this, the secret of my work is this, it's God. He could point and say, it's God. And then he said, I would be nothing without him. That's the humility and the focus of his message, which is helpful to us because we theologians, pastors, teachers, followers of Christ, we've made it complicated when really the message is quite simple. Here it is. How can we follow? Make allowances for each other's faults. And we read this in Paul's letter. He says, and forgive anyone who offends you. That's not easy, but it calls for us into action. And when we allow it, God has a place to give us something. Remember, the Lord forgave you, and you must forgive others. Jesus said those words too, didn't he? He said, if you cannot forgive, you really can't come to that place. Until you come to the foot of the cross and say, I want you to forgive others if I'm going to receive God's forgiveness. And I believe that as the ability, has the power to take us beyond where we have been. So make allowances for each other and the faults of others. Is it easy? No way. It is hard to do, but it is the peace of Christ that meets us in that moment. It's not anything else other than God that meets us there and gives us the power to overcome. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts as members of one body. You are called to live in peace. I think of how God has provided a way forward, and in that place, God meets us. It's that peace, Erene, that comes from Christ, and it rules in our hearts. I can think of some things that have held up my growth and my understanding of who Jesus was. And I will tell you, the very first place that I have to stop and ask the question is, who is it that I need to forgive? And I remember sitting in the office of a very skilled therapist who just was very helpful to me very early before I was ordained. He said, Bob, if you can't forgive yourself, you will be of no use to anyone else. You'll be no use. I would ask you to think about this. How can the peace of Christ enter into your life in order for someone else to see who Jesus is? Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts And then as members of one body, that is the beauty of bringing it all together, saying, together we all failed folks who are in, now can say, no, it's the peace of Christ that has made it possible for me to experience something that I can't even imagine. There's no way for me to imagine what it is until I invite it in. And until I've experienced it first, how can I share that with someone else? I can't. The only way that I know I can do it is to say, Lord, fill me with your peace. Give me the power to forgive. Therefore, I can experience your power and share it with someone else. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace. Lord, we thank you for your peace that surpasses all of our understanding. And on this day, Lord, I know that as we've gathered here, we know that the virtue, the gift, the fruit of peace is something that we can't order. It is a gift that you give to us. So, Lord, thank you for providing that gift to us. And, Lord, when we experience your peace, may we be able then to pass it along and let it flow through our actions, our lives. For, Lord, it doesn't always come naturally to us, but we thank you for allowing forgiveness to rule in our lives, not because we can do it, but because you can do it. And we know it's your work that is providing something for us. And we know that it will then give us the ability to make those healthy decisions of saying, Lord, I thank you for allowing your spirit to use me as an agent of reconciliation. Like, you've forgiven me, I can forgive others. So thank you, Lord, for allowing me to use that gift for your purpose, to share the fruit of peace in a world that needs your peace more now than ever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your gift. We give you all praise and glory for what you've done. And may it rule in our hearts all days. This we pray in Jesus' name.